This is Part B of How to Study the Bible, Number 1. We're in Exodus 20, and we are at the third commandment, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, when you read that third commandment, which in the Catechism Catholic version is the second commandment. What do you immediately think of? Well, sports figures, people who get angry and swear and curse, they're taking God's name in vain. But what's another way of taking God's name in vain? Doing the opposite of what he said. For example, if a minister or a priest stands in the pulpit and says, God has abolished the law, and he says so in the name of the Lord, is that not taking the name of God in vain? If you're lying in God's name, are you not taking his name in vain? Of course. There are many ways of taking God's name in vain. How about if you twist and turn the scripture and say, God said, when God didn't say? So this has a lot more to do than just swearing and cursing on the golf course or the football game or a baseball game or getting mad at your neighbor and shaking your fist at him and calling him all kinds of names. That's bad enough. But when it comes in smooth, pleasant words from a pulpit by someone who is supposed to be a teacher of God and is teaching lies in the name of God, that's worse. Now here's the other commandment that they do not like, the fourth commandment. Now, let me just mention this. The second commandment is the longest commandment of the ten, a little longer than the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment has to do with the Sabbath, and it's the second longest. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole series on the Sabbath day. But except to say, the Sabbath is the seventh day called Saturday, except in Europe. Because they have finagled the calendar around so that Monday is the first day of the week, Saturday is the sixth day of the week, and blessed, lo and behold, Sunday's the seventh day of the week. So if you are in Europe and you hear someone say concerning the seventh day, you're thinking that's Sunday because they have changed the calendar and they are lying to you so that you can continue in the deception that you think your Sunday keeping is Sabbath keeping. Now that's how delusional and how far men have gone to reject God and to make it appear that Sunday is the day that should be kept. When even according as we have in one of the appendices of the Bible here, Rome's challenge to the Protestants, where they show that there is not one scripture in the Old or New Testament authorizing the observance of Sunday, and it was written under the auspices of Cardinal Gibbon in 1893 in the Baltimore Sun. And it's interesting, there are four articles covering that, and every one of them was published on the Sabbath day. It came out on Saturdays paper. Very ironic, isn't it? And yet now they have the gall in Europe to show that they're a Christian nation, or Christian nations, if we could put it that way, that Sunday's the seventh day of the week. Well, little kiddies growing up, how are they ever going to know? And if you have had that kind of calendar all your life, and if the church teaches you that, well, Sunday's the seventh day, that's why we're going to see a little later on, you have to prove all things. That's why you have to go by the truth of what the Bible says. But I think it's very interesting because in that appendices that we have of Rome's challenge in the Bible, he specifically says that the seventh day is Saturday, a day which we never keep, and that it was of human devisings of the Catholic Church that brought it to the Christian Church, because for 300 years before the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church, under the pagan emperor Constantine, wasn't started by the apostles, the true Church of God kept the seventh day of the week as a day of worship. So with that caveat, let's read concerning the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's Saturday. Okay? To keep it holy means that you're not to work. Now, here's what's so important concerning the Sabbath day as listed here. Verse 9. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Because Genesis 2 shows that he made it holy, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And the Sabbath is the key in your understanding the Bible. Now we'll talk a little bit more about the Bible and how we know it's the Word of God and so forth next time. But if you're seeking God, the first thing you need to do is start keeping the commandments. Now, I remember a man I was talking to one time, and he was kind of at the crossroads there, and he was debating in his mind about the Sabbath and Sunday, and he was listening to what was said on the radio at that time about the Sabbath day and reading the literature about the Sabbath day, but he was also going to his Baptist church and hearing about the first day of the week. So he says, well, I really don't know what to do. So I told him, I said, well, why don't you try this? Why don't you keep the seventh day, Saturday, set it aside to keep it holy, keep it at home, and for a whole month on every Sabbath day, study about the Sabbath in the Bible. And I said, at the end of a month, I'm pretty convinced that you'll understand about the Sabbath. So after that, he said, yes, I understand about the Sabbath. See? Perfect example of, if you keep the commandments, you will have a good understanding. If you don't keep the commandments, you won't. 6 days shall you labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, what does the word of denote? It denotes ownership. God owns it. It is his. Since it is his, man cannot come along after the fact and legislate something else. And as you will see in searching to understand about the Word of God and find God and how to understand the Bible, the Sabbath will be the key pivotal point for you as well. In it, you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your livestock, nor your stranger within the stranger within your gate. For in 6 days, here's the reason God commanded the Sabbath. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. So in keeping the Sabbath, you always know who the Creator is. And in keeping the Sabbath day, then you begin to develop the right relationship with God. So in your search for the truth, you might try what I suggested to that man. Now, if you're searching for the truth, here's a promise. Let's come back here to Matthew 7, page 965. Now, here's what you need to do. And we'll come back to this again. But if you're trying to seek God and trying to understand the Bible, here is the promise. But that promise is predicated upon the fact, when you come to the understanding about a commandment of God, are you going to keep it? If you don't keep it, you're not going to understand. Regardless of what the commandment is, if you're living in sin and are shacking up with someone and you're trying to find out about God, God says you shall not commit adultery, you better get out of that adulterous relationship. Whatever the commandment may be. If you have idols in your house, you need to get rid of them. Now, verse 7, Matthew 7. Ask, and it shall be given to you. So you've got to pray to God. It's not just an intellectual matter that you're going through and you're going to read the Bible and you're going to understand it just like you would read a novel. Bible is not designed that way. The keys in understanding the Bible we're seeing right now is, number one, keep the commandments of God. So if you're seeking God, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So if you're really honest, if you're really seeking God, now if you're trying to seek a religion or if you're trying to seek a way to assuage your guilty conscience and you don't repent, then it's not going to do you any good. That's why so many people start but never finish. Now notice these are promises. And it also means in the Greek, ask and keep on asking. You don't quit. You just don't ask once and give up. You're always asking God all the time. And it shall be given to you. And you will find as you continue that, God will give you understanding. God will help you. Seek. And the Greek means keep on seeking. And you shall find. You're not going to find it all at once. Because you see, what you have to do is admit this. That Satan the devil has blinded your eyes by false teachings and living in the world. So if you really want to seek God, then you have to do it God's way. Knock, and it shall keep on knocking, and it shall be open to you. For here's the promise. For everyone who asks, receives. Now, if you ask, you have to ask in faith. You have to ask in belief. You have to ask in obedience. Receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, it shall be opened. So if you want to understand the Bible by studying it, the Sabbath day becomes a key day. So if you use that day every week, which is Saturday today, and you follow what the commandment says, and you study the Bible to understand the Word of God, and you ask God in prayer to help you understand, you will. Now, let's look at the other side of the coin of how the Sabbath day keeps us in contact with God as Creator. Look at those who do not keep the Sabbath. How many have given up on God as Creator but believe in evolution? Or even those who are Sunday keepers, see, because Sunday is not the Sabbath. You have to understand that. They are gradually accepting phases of creation that's leading them off into evolution. So it's very important. One other thing that's important concerning the Sabbath is this. God spiritually puts His presence into the Sabbath so He can fellowship with His people. He can answer the prayers of those who are seeking Him. He can bring them to Him, spiritually draw them. Now, we'll see that in a little bit. That's all understanding about the way of God. Now, let's look at the way that the world treats the Sabbath, which, by the way, is observed from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, not midnight to midnight. Okay? So, when are all the activities for most of the children growing up, especially in middle school and high school? Friday nights. So Satan has made this society to have fun on Friday nights, and it carries over into adult life. And what do? They go out Friday nights to dancing, to bars, to rock concerts. And what happens on those Friday nights? A lot of adultery, a lot of fornication, a lot of drugs, pot smoking, and all of that. Now just stop and think about this. What if you ran a survey on a Friday night after a great colossal rock concert? And you asked them, would you want to know about God? They'd probably say, don't bother me, man. I'm having too much fun. And one other thing about that kind of music and other kinds of degenerate music, the beat is made to literally vibrate through your body. Okay, what about all the sports on Friday night? Then you come to Saturday. When do they have all of the college football games, basketball game, Friday night, Saturday, right? Yes. Now, it's more important to have fun than to find God. So likewise, you could take all of those who go to the college games, they're out there cheering, they're out there yelling, and they've given themselves to the team, which is their idol, and which most of them have a logo, and they're after some sort of likeness of an animal, like the lions or, you know, the river rats or whatever it may be. And so these become gods and idols, and they give their whole devotion to it. And they talk about it, and they have statistics, and they know how, if it's football, they know who the quarterback is, how many passes he threw, how many first downs he threw, how many touchdowns he threw, how many field goals were kicked, what the score was at a certain time, and they're all wrapped up in it because the goal of all of this is to finish the season and to go to a bowl. So just think of all the energy they put into going to the game and knowing the statistics, and they don't have a clue as to what the Bible would be. And, you know, I wonder how many would really, really keep a Bible if you stood there and said, we want to help you. Here's a Bible. Would you like to read it as they exited a game? Never would. Now, let's grow up and let's come to adulthood. Okay? Do adults have parties on Friday nights? Yes. Matter of fact, that's probably when most of the adultery and drugs and everything takes place, on a Friday night. Go to nightclubs, right? Go to some party, right? Yes, go to husband-wife swapping parties. There are countless of those. Go to drug parties. Sniff your cocaine. How many began their cocaine or their meth on a Friday night? Because, see, Satan wants you to break the Sabbath, so he's got you with another activity. All right, well, you can say, well, I don't do those things. Well, do you go all shopping on Saturday when they have all the sales and the low prices? Yes, indeed, you're still breaking the Sabbath. See, that's why the Sabbath becomes so important in understanding how do you study the Bible and understand it. Now, let's go to the next one. Now, so far as we've gone along, have any of these been difficult and complicated to understand? No. All right. Verse 12, honor your father and mother so that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. What do we have today? Disobedience to parents? Rebellious children, women and children ruling over them, and fathers almost relegated to, you know, an income poop. And you watch some of the ads that they have on. Children dominated, women dominated, and the father's made to look like a fool. The woman knows all about carpentry and electronics. You know, not so. The woman knows how to run the television. Whatever. The children know better. They have a nice, cute little ad for dad. Two little girls come up, and they have something for dad. And they give it to him, and he sees that it is hair dye, because he's getting gray hair. And the two little girls look up at him and say, please, Daddy, won't you use it? See how they play it on emotions? And you can do that every place else. All right, now for the men. Hunting, fishing, car buying, auto repairs, yard repairs, all on Saturday. Now, let's ask a question about Sunday. Do they keep Sunday holy? No. If they go to church, they're out the door doing their own activity. All right? Same thing with honoring your father and mother. See? When you youths go out on Friday night, most of the time you lie to your parents, don't you? You tell them you're in one place when you're really at another place. And cell phones don't make any difference, because on a cell phone you can tell your folks whatever you want to. And you know how to lie to them. And then you get in trouble. And the schools are no help. They teach you to disobey and dishonor your father and mother, especially if they are what they would consider religious and believe in any form of God. And they dishonor your father and mother by saying, oh, you can't discipline any of your children. You wouldn't dare spank them. So the children are raised up as narcissistic brats with no control, dishonoring father and mother. And how many die at a young age? Because of accidents, because of suicide, because of drugs. So you see, what we're finding also is that every ill that there is in society is because they're breaking the commandments of God. So if you want to understand the Word of God and get your life squared around, then you've got to start keeping the commandments of God, because if you don't, you won't have any understanding. Now let's go on. You shall not murder. Now murder, is one of the biggest crimes in America and in many countries of the world. It is called abortion. To say nothing of murdering, shooting, stabbing, beating, bludgeoning, and all of that. Mothers killing their children, putting duct tape on the mouths of their children. Men shooting their families because they lose their job. So that's self-explanatory. But Jesus said, if you hate, you've committed murder. Let's go on. The next commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, that's out of date. Adultery in this society is the only way to go. Fornication, adultery, teenage sex, child sex, pedophilia. You shall not steal. Ooh. Look at all the thievery that goes on. You realize that of the goods you buy in the store, between 15% and 20% of it is the cost of thievery. And a lot of that comes from the faithful employees, so-called, who steal, put things out the back door. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, and that includes lying. And the human heart is so deceitful that they have found that the average person will tell 3 lies in 10 minutes. They're so dishonest with themselves that they can't even tell the truth. Now, here's the one that is perhaps the most spiritual, because all of these others have actions which have consequences. And here, the 10th commandment, which the Catholics split in two, so they can compensate for the 2nd commandment in the catechism against idols that they remove. So in the Catholic Catechism, the 10th commandment is 9 and 10. But notice, this is all your thoughts, all your motivation. So God is interested in your thoughts and your motivations, and God is also the heart-knowing God. Now notice, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And what is the greatest crime that we have in so many cities today? Lying, cheating, stealing, because they covet. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. So God is also interested in your thoughts. Then you can read some of the other commandments, what you are to do to even someone that you don't like. That God says you're under obligation, that if someone you don't like and his donkey comes onto your property, you are to return it to him. Now think how that would apply with all the coveting. You take away coveting. You teach people to think correctly. And let's analyze all 10 now for just a minute. If people were taught in churches and on the Sabbath day, to all keep the Sabbath, and they were taught in the schools to love one another as themselves, love your neighbor as yourselves, to honor your father and mother. Now, we'll just set aside the first 4 for just a minute and look at just a carnal society with the last 6. Isn't the society wanting to have good fathers, good mothers, good children? Yes. You get that by the 5th commandment of honoring your father and your mother. See? You shall not murder. If all of these were taught, you shall not commit adultery, and all of these were taught. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness and lie. Shall not covet your neighbor's house, shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. And you can put there his car, his motorcycle, his clothes, his house, everything that he has, his fishing gear, her sewing machine, whatever it may be. If people were taught to keep those, what would percentage of crime be? Virtually zero. How many policemen would you need? Hardly any. Because each person would be a policeman unto him or herself. So everything that people desire and complain about and vote against or vote for or are taxed to solve the problem comes down to the last six commandments, and the breaking of the last six commandments come from breaking the first four. So what do you have? You have a population, and that may include you, that does not understand the Bible, does not care about God, and look at your miserable lives. And look at the police state that has to be created because people are not taught to police themselves. Oh no, these commandments are harsh. Oh no, we can't have that. This is out of date. Let's come to Deuteronomy 5 and we'll finish here. As we're turning to Deuteronomy 5, page 298, I want you to think about how many thousands and thousands of laws and ordinances and statutes are there on the books which would not have to be there if they kept the Ten Commandments. Now, in keeping the Ten Commandments, how can that be a curse when it's going to be bring a blessing of all the things that we just discussed here? So you see, what man calls a curse, God calls a blessing. Wouldn't it be nice if you could leave your house? Leave it open and know that when you came home, everything would be there. No, you got to lock it up. You got to lock the doors. You have to have an alarm system. And you have to have it so that the police know that you have an alarm system. So if the alarm goes off, well, you have to have the alarm company call you and find out, is it you? Did you make a mistake? Or, you know, they pretty well know after so many seconds they are told to call the police so they come out. Now, we have an alarm system on our house, and it kept going off. And the police came out about three or four times. And since when we were gone, our neighbor would be the one that they would call, because when she's gone, if her alarm goes off, they would call us. And she would come over and wait for the police to be there, and there was no evidence of anyone stealing anything. Nobody breaking in or anything like that. So finally, we called the alarm company, and he came over and found that one of the sensors, which senses motion, downstairs in the hallway, and we have a long hallway downstairs, was not working right because one of those big spiders that you get in the corner made his nest up there and was crossing back and forth across the motion detector.
Oh, boy. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, yeah. All right. Okay. Now, when they heard God speak all these words, and it was powerful, thundering, with lightning, and the voice of God. So let's come here to Deuteronomy 5, and let's pick it up in verse 22. Now here's a good lesson for us. Remember, Jesus said, "You shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And God gave the Ten Commandments. Every word proceeded from his mouth. Verse 22. The Lord spoke these words to all your assembly in the mountain out of the midst of the fire of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more. That's all he spoke was the Ten Commandments. Later he gave the statutes and judgments to Moses, which then broke it down in a little finer detail on how you apply it. And he wrote them on two tables of stone and delivered them to me. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the fire, for the mountain burned with fire, you came nearer to me, all the heads of your tribes and elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has revealed his glory and greatness, and we've heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We've seen today that God talks with man, yet he still lives. Now notice their attitude instead of saying, Oh, this is a wonderful event. Think how great that these commandments are. No. They rebelled right when they heard it. So how are you going to react when you hear this? Are you going to rebel? Verse 25. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. Of course it didn't. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. Isn't that what people do? They stop their ears to this day with the commandments of God. They accuse God of all kinds of things, and it's the exact opposite. For who of all flesh has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have, and have lived? Now, since we're still alive, Moses, we want you to do something for us. Verse 27, You go near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and you speak to us all that the Lord our God shall speak to you, and we will hear it and do it. But it never happened that way, because whenever you put a man between you and God, then you look at the man and his mistakes and you say, Aha! I don't have to obey because he's a sinner. Now verse 28. The Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. The Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which you have spoken, which they have spoken to you. So God knows what they said. They have well said all that they have spoken. In other words, they're well intended, but here is the problem. And this is why, as we'll see later, in order to further understand the Bible, you've got to repent and be baptized. Because what God wants to do is change your heart. Now, they weren't willing for that. Because they said this, God said, verse 29, Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Now notice the rest of this sentence, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever. See, the commandments of God are good. They are right. That's why only those who keep the commandments of God will have a good understanding of the Word of God. Go and say to them, Go into your tents, but as for you, you stand here by me, and I will speak to you all the commandments and statutes and the judgments which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I am giving to them to possess. And you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Now that's the truth of the commandments, and the first thing you need to do to understand the Bible and come out of the confusion that you are in. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.